You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George. Hola, amigos. It is Wednesday, September 29th. We'll officially welcome you to the midway points of your work week shortly. Got plenty to talk about. Pelicans fans practice yesterday. Practice number two off and running. We'll hear what head coach Willie Green had to say. We'll hear from the intern as he gives us our question of the day here shortly, and we'll talk Saints as they are also back to work.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more that, what, that Camel Wednesday, hump day, is that what it is?
It is head coach Sean Payton. Camel. Caleb is his name. Shot Gina Digital Underground. Welcome to your midway point of your work week show. Got plenty to get into as the Saints do return to work. The intern will have his question of the day here shortly. Words of wisdom.
To all the ladies, peace and happiness forever.
Indeed. Coming up in the next 3 hours. We like to do this on Wednesday, kind of go around the state and kind of get a vibe of Saints and now Pels fans in and around the state, what they like. We'll go to Acadiana, bottom of the hour, Scott Prather, ESPN 1420. See how folks are feeling about Coach Billy Napier, the Cajuns, Saints, and Pels. Sean Fox at 1:15. We're going to move him up a little bit. Normally 1:30 up there in Fun Row because Mike Triplett's going to join us at 1:30. He's trying to fit us in after Saints have that open portion of practice, and then more importantly after the Saints then have their open locker room quote-unquote period where players will be made available. So we're going to fit him in at 1:30. Coach G, there's some big men's national soccer team news in terms of the roster that we're going to touch on here at 1:45 every Wednesday. 1:45 football with Coach G, coaches over there at Warren Easton. Ralph Marlborough at 2:15, his thoughts and takes from last week as we move forward to this week here as well. But we bring in the intern as always, sir. It's a joy to talk. Did we even talk to you yesterday? I don't remember. Did I forget to go to you, or were you busy again?
No, it was so busy yesterday for you guys. I don't think the radio was blessed with my voice.
Okay. I was making sure that it wasn't my fault that I just didn't go to you or anything. Anyway, sir, it is the midway point of the work week. We got lots to get into. I'm super excited. Opening segment here, what after you gave us our question of the day. Going to hear from head coach Willie Green. Can you believe that practice is underway? The NBA season, dude, it's next Monday right here on your home for Pelicans basketball. It's T-Wolves and the Pelicans in the first preseason game. I'm kind of excited, obviously, having sat there and seen media day on Monday. I think people are going to be surprised by the length and the size this team has sort of added. I'm kind of excited about the rookies. I'm excited about Antonio Daniels tweeting yesterday that Jackson Hayes is draining threes everywhere. He said it on our show Monday that he legitimately is working on it, man. I'm kind of pumped up. I know you're a huge Pels fan. Where's your level of enthusiasm yet? Because I know in the past you've been like, I'll see it when I believe it, guy. Where are you right now? Day two of practice, what is it, 5 days away from the first game?
I think it's kind of still that same kind of phrase. When I see it, I'll believe it. I'm going to stick to that till proven otherwise. I am excited for the season, obviously. Excited to see what Willie Green is going to do with this roster of Pelicans. I know a bunch of the players kind of talking about him yesterday, and I'm sure that they're going to continue to talk to him here in the upcoming days, because this is, you know, his first time coaching. Mm-hmm. And Coach Green actually talked about that yesterday, about how different it is than the previous season where he was an assistant coach, and how he has to kind of change the tempo of practice and kind of, you know, have an equal balance of, okay, you know, running the players so they're not running to the ground. So I'm excited to see what's in store for this team. I know they added a 4-point line.
Yes.
Practice facility.
Uh-huh.
You're going to hear more about that from players and coaches to why they added that. So I'm just excited for all the new features that, you know, they're pulling out to make this Pelican squad, you know, better than years past.
It's interesting, right? It's interesting that they're doing that, and that's a reason. But, again, if you remember what David Griffin was saying, got to get shooting. He told us that on Monday, too, got to get shooting. And they did that, and I thought it was interesting. I thought it was one of the better interviews, Brandon Ingram, huh? He really, I think, let us in on a lot of different aspects of it, even him, what he had to do, saying, look,
yeah,
I need more energy on the defensive end, and it's up to me. I have the talent, but it's up to me to bring the energy and do all that. But I thought I asked him, you know, about, is this a more talented roster? And I thought the way he answered it was interesting. It took him about 60 seconds to actually even get to it.
Yeah,
and he was like, look, I think it's going to be about a month or two. Let's see. Let's play. But he did say we have shooting. There's more shooting everywhere, and it's going to space the floor. And, look, that's what you want to hear. So maybe putting that 4-point line out there is to get you to start practicing, Jordan, to shoot, because that 4-point line's not just a half a step away from the 3-point line. It's a good 2 feet back, isn't it? I mean, like,
yeah,
there's some distance. So I'm almost thinking they want you practicing and getting comfortable making shots that far. So defenses have to do that to come guard you 2 feet further from the 3-point line, which creates more space for everybody else to work in the middle. I mean, there's a rhyme and reason for it, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of what, you know, they were saying. It's like, when do you pick and choose when you're going to let it fly from there? I know Devontae Graham, who spoke yesterday, was just kind of saying, hey, it's however comfortable each player feels from, you know, pulling it from that range. Is it, you know, the highest IQ or highest percentage shot that you can take at that time? If you're open and, you know, you're kind of on a hot streak, then, yeah, let it fly. But, you know, if you're kind of struggling within, you know, during the moment of the game, maybe you shouldn't be, you know, taking shots from that deep. So it's very interesting what everyone had to say. I can't wait for everyone to listen to the sound later in the show.
All right, well, let's get to it. First off, sir, give us our question of the day.
Yeah, it has to do with your New Orleans Saints, and we do it every single Wednesday, and that is, what are your top storylines heading into Sunday's matchup with the Saints and the New York Giants? You could comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter or call in 800-998-1003, and Buddy will answer your phone call.
All right, give us your top storyline, and we'll get on with the sound from Pels practice. What is your number one storyline?
I think it still has to be Jameis Winston.
Really?
Winston.
Okay. All right.
Jameis Winston.
Just I'm writing down, Jordan. Just Jameis Winston. All right, just Jameis Winston. I thought it was very interesting. Look at my triplet live on ESPN. You got a TV? Look at him. Look at him. He's got his coat on, his long sleeve shirt. We'll hear from Mike Triplett at 1:30. But I'm going to play what Sean Payton said a little bit ago this morning. Again, it's Wednesday, so he's already had his media conference call about stats. And does it matter? The numbers. He's pretty straightforward in how he feels about that. So that's coming up next segment, Jordan. But I'm writing yours down. I'm going to give mine some thought here. And then I'll give you mine the next time we chat here at 12:45, as you'll come back and give us some top stories. Sound good?
Sounds good to me, buddy.
Right. Sounds good. Thank you, bud. At JD Kleber, by the way, if you want to give him a follow over on Twitter. All right. So let's take a look at what practice was like yesterday for your New Orleans Pelicans. Again, there was a 4-point line. There was all of that. But you heard Jordan kind of touch on it. Willie Green, now officially a head coach. Not that he wasn't in summer league, not that he wasn't acting like that in Nashville, but we're off and running. And is there any difference so far in what it's like?
I am. I'm still pinching myself. It's such a blessing and, you know, great opportunity to be here and have an opportunity to coach an unbelievable group of young men. So, you know, I was excited waking up this morning, and we had a really good first practice. So hopefully we can continue.
All right, let's get to that 4-point line because I think it's remarkable. Why is there a 4-point line on a court?
4-point line is really for spacing. So for us, we want to be spaced out But also, we want to have we have guys that's capable of shooting from that distance. So a combination of that spacing and that ability to shoot is really tough on a defense to you know, guard you. They have to guard guys that can shoot, and they have to guard our penetration.
Imagine that. I like that. We've heard coaches in the past touch on, talk about spacing. What are they doing to create that spacing? They're literally practicing and marking the court to do that, to kind of get you in the habit of spacing. So I like that. The next most important thing, obviously, is Zion. Look, I'm going to be honest. You heard me. I touched on it a ton on Monday a little bit, and I didn't for a reason. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Every Pels fan probably went when David Griffin said he's injured and he broke his foot. An expletive, right? Are we going to see him for the regular season? Well, yesterday he was jogging. He was practicing aside, on the side, away from the team. Teresa Witherspoon, you heard Ollie say that. He was jogging on the treadmill. So, again, that leads me to believe you're trying to get into conditioning, into shape. If you have a broken foot, you can't. I think you're going to see him October 20th. I'd be surprised. I hope that he is by October 20th. That is the season opener. It's September 29th. It's a Wednesday. The season opener is a Wednesday. Let's count them. Next Wednesday is October 6th. The following's the 13th. Then after that's the 20th. Do your math. 3 weeks. He's 3 weeks away. I'm hoping if he's jogging, if he's running, if he's doing things like that, you're ready to go against the 76ers at home, right? Head coach Willie Green was asked about Zion's limitations right now.
Well, as I said in the press conference the other day, a lot of Heiser works, doing work in the pool. He's still doing his lifting and his balance and stuff. He can do a little bit on the floor, but we want to keep it to a minimum and allow him to progress through his rehabilitation.
So I don't know how that fits in a three-week timeline. Again, David Griffin on Monday said the goal and the hope is that 3 weeks from today, the season opener, he's ready to go and play, right? So that's the goal. Willie Green, first day message to the team.
Just compete at a high level. You know, it's like first day of school, right? A little nervous, but if we go out and we work hard and we compete at a high level, you know, it all falls into place.
We touched on Monday. You heard David Griffin say that the first couple of days in Nashville, that and even Andrew Lopez said at the end of the show on Monday, they owned the team, the summer league team, for the first 3-4 days. That they were the competitive ones. They were the ones that was kind of running the court. And again, the phrase, not on Herb, as in Herbert Jones, the second round draft pick. He was shutting down proverbial starters. So that's a good sign. It's a good sign. Coach Green was asked, how did they do on 5-on-5?
We did. We played most of our practice today was centered around defense. So half court defense, transition defense, we'll build it out from there.
And I know it's just the first day, but you know, what are kind of some things you're saying just about playing defense at this very early stage?
Number one, we got to guard the ball. That starts with our wings, our guards. Our communication has to be at a high level. The teams that can communicate, that can guard the ball, protect the paint, and then we got to finish possessions with a contested box out. So we worked on a lot of that today in practice, and we just want to keep building.
I feel like Jordan here. Okay, I've heard this before. I like it. Now, at least you heard his plan. You heard his reasoning. There's a 3 to 4 to 5 step process to playing good defense. Guard by the position, block out, and go rebound. All right. At least we know what you're supposed to do. Let's see if we can get them to do it. As to how we organize this practice.
I get a feel for the group, but for the most part, it's about being efficient. Being efficient with our time. You know, I think we can get a lot accomplished, but we don't need to do it over 2 and 3 hours. So hour 45, some days 2 hours, especially during camp if we need to put more in. But today was the guys worked hard, they played hard, they competed at a high level. And as long as we're efficient, we work hard, we're pretty detailed, we get out of here.
Look, you're going to hear this and you're going to see this from all the people that cover the Pelicans over the next couple of days. Already you're seeing a drastic difference as to how practice was run and how things were organized from Stan Van Gundy, who, again, one of the knocks on him, he couldn't communicate, quote unquote, or mesh and blend with this younger gen of players. One of the things that immediately Ollie said he saw yesterday and observed, there's music. playing around after practice, during practice, and things of that nature. There was an instance last year, B.I. shooting, playing some music. Van Gundy said, shh, holding meeting. B.I. said, go have it somewhere else. So when you have that sort of, you know, lack of communication, I guess, or understanding that maybe this is how the best way to go about it, this is, again, why they got him. Players, coach. You hear that terminology all the time. Still have to hold players responsible. But that comes from respect, right? It comes from respect. So that's something that we'll touch on and see as the season goes on. But Willie Green was asked that, and then we'll go to break. What makes someone a player's coach? But you heard Willie there. I'm not going to, you know, grab a sheet of paper. We got to get through this. We're doing 245. We're doing 3 hours. We're doing it. No. Look, this is what we're going to got to do, and he's going to gauge and judge by what he sees at practice in their players. He's going to allow them to be freer, express themselves more. Here you go.
I'm not even sure what that means, but I guess I have compassion for what these guys go through. I've done it at this level. But let's not be fooled. It's a lot of preparation that has to go into this, and I think we walk in as former players with credibility, but in order to sustain that, we have to put in a ton of work and be ready and be prepared and be able to make adjustments throughout the course of the season.
All right, so there you go. Give you a little tidbit on how he's starting out as the Pelicans head coach. Don't forget, folks, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL is DraftKings. They really are trying to put you in the center of the action to help you get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Real simple, start your lineup, stay under the salary cap, beat that competition, and you can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. DraftKings, safe, secure, reliable. Download the app, DraftKings, put in the code LaRose, and off you go and running at a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. You'll hear from head coach Sean Payton of the New Orleans Saints. He spoke this morning. What he had to say about his team next on ESPN New Orleans.
Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com.
GregLeBlancToyota.com.
We are Homa Strong.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belt sand related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodaux Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodaux Regional.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
I think we've done a good job of understanding how to win two of these first three games, and we'll go from there.
There you go. You're going to play more of what head coach Sean Payton had to say this morning. Again, question of the day, real simple. What are some of the top storylines? We like to do this on Wednesday. Going into the new work week, going into the first this weekend's game against the Giants. By the way, New Orleans yesterday and on Monday, 8.5 point favorite. It's gone down. 7.5 point favorite now against the Giants. So give us your top storylines, 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio NOLA. What do you think they are? Jordan joined us in the first segment. He said, it's just Jameis. Just Jameis. Just Jameis. Everything that goes with Jameis. Is that a storyline for you this week? As the Saints offense overall, is it just Jameis? I think it is going to be interesting to see how the sold-out Superdome reacts. Which, by the way, again, Sean Payton was asked this morning, can you believe, here we go here, in a couple of days, you'll be back in the Caesars Superdome.
Well, look, obviously it's been a while, you know, over a year. Well, last season, you know, you're not really playing with any type of fan base that's making noise. So, you know, it's significant, especially when you have a venue like ours, which, you know, a lot of people, including us, feel like is one of the harder places to play. So when that, you know, when that is just all equal around the league, the teams that have the better home field advantage, you know, lose out a little bit more. That's all.
I think one of the storylines is you, actually. You, the crowd. Again, hard to believe. The last time the Superdome was filled was LSU winning the national championship. That's nuts when you actually think about it from that perspective. So give me some of your top storylines there as well. Is it, hey, do you continue to just win games the way you can? Because this morning, head coach Sean Payton was asked, are you concerned about the offensive numbers? Two wins, haven't thrown for 150 yards. This is Sean Payton, offensive genius. Pass here, pass there, pass everywhere. Hall of Fame quarterback built in his system. You concerned about the numbers?
It's what I told our team. You know, when you start looking at someone's grade after one quiz and one homework assignment and a second quiz, I mean, obviously when you have a game like we had against Carolina, you're going to be able to ask me that question for the next 8 weeks. It just is what it is. You know, so if you're looking at three game totals, you know, obviously – It's not the numbers or any of those things, but I think more importantly we'll be down the stretch. I like how we're protecting the football. I think we've done a good job of understanding how to win two of these first three games, and we'll go from there.
We talked about it yesterday with Maddie Hudak from Saints Wire when she was in studio, how that Denver game kind of came back to light. In terms of, if you remember, he said it afterwards, just win the game, it didn't matter. I said, look, that would have been a great game for Taysom to air it out. They literally had no quarterback, right? But that mentality, you've been hearing me say it the last several weeks. You heard me say it Monday, Tuesday, and I'll say it again today. Looking at the calendar, looking at the schedule, it's right here on my wall. Real simple. Got 2 weeks to the bye. Get to the bye however you get to the bye. 1 point win. 11-point win, 31-point win. Can you get a win? If this team can somehow manage to get to the bye at 4-1, you heard me tell Orlando, he called yesterday, throwing a party. I'm serious. I'm asking y'all to help out with the playlist. Music going in and out of break, buddy. I mean, cooling the gang. You're going to celebrate the Monday, October 11th, if the Saints had just defeated Washington at Washington. If they can defeat the Giants this week and enter the bye at 4-1. I mean, high five anybody wearing Saints gear that week. Just drive around like it's a Saints game day. Put your little flags on your windows, on your truck. Wear gear. Because the fact that they would be 4-1, with what they've had to go through, with the losses, the suspensions, the injuries, the IRs. I lost track of who's on IR. I think you get the kicker this week. I think next week you might be able to get some players like Tre'Quan Smith and Marcus Davenport. I lost track. You had 2 weekends where literally everybody's going on IR. Now, you had to do that. A, let them heal. B, got to open up roster spots so you can have healthier people. Sean and them, they do a very good job of doing that. But still, they're unavailable. Your leading tackler, by the way, last week was Marshawn Lattimore. Marshawn Lattimore. I think he was missed against Carolina. Now I said it. I said sit him. I mean, you have to. You have to let him get healed, right? I need him for the next 15 games. So they did the right thing by sitting him. But I'm just saying, you think he makes an impact or a difference? With a cast, he led the team in tackles. With a cast. Sean Payton this morning.
Yeah, look, he's one of our starters and a cornerback, one of our really good players. And so there's a lot that goes into that. And shoot, I think he led the defense in tackles last week. So it's great to have him back.
All right, I'm going to go back to the whole stat thing because he was asked again. And I love this response. But coach, not a little bit of concern. Because again, and I'm not saying that Jordan's wrong here. I mean, it is. Jameis, passing game. Do you look at stats, though, and maybe kind of feel a certain way? He went in a little longer into this.
We're in the business of winning, right? And so, and honestly, it doesn't have to be aesthetically pleasing either. And so, I mean, it just truly is what it is. You know, but if you have a game like you had against Carolina offensively, then that's gonna take 8-10 weeks before you're into some normal numbers, if you're even having normal numbers. So, I think what was important was the final drive in that game. You know, converting the third downs we needed defensively, 3 takeaways. That was important. We ran the ball effectively. They didn't. That was important. We matched the intensity in the special teams. That was important. When I get on the bus, I'm not even thinking about how many yards we just threw for or what did we. I'm thinking about what were the keys to victory, and one of them was, hey, we've got to be more effective running the ball than New England.
I mean, come on. Huh? Dude's locked in, man. He's locked in. And he's absolutely right. Again. Normal season, you got everybody, Drew's back there, you have a quarterback that you have had for a while. Yes, yes, our show, other shows, beat writers, bloggers, podcasters, everybody be like, what is wrong? You have some dude named Throckmorton playing at right guard. I'm not giving him grief, believe me. Head coach Sean Payton on Throckmorton. Nicknamed the Throck of Gibraltar.
He's done well. Yeah, he's played well. we've been encouraged, and, I think that, from a consistency standpoint, he's number one, he's a real smart player. And so, he's done a good job.
James Hurst at left tackle. Dude sounds like that's a name like, some English songwriter, top 40 musician. The very latest from James Hurst next. I mean, seriously, he's your left tackle.
Yeah, look, his experience, number one, but also his ability and flexibility. He's one of those guys that has filled in, played guard for us. He's a guy that's played jumbo for us. He's someone that I think guys have a lot of confidence in, and he's earned that.
I'm not making fun of these people. I'm just saying you're finding a way to win game and you haven't thrown for 150 yards. You can put on CBS Sports Network and watch CUSA action. And those teams are flying. I mean, the ball is flinging all over the field. Can't get 150 yards in the air. They had to go back and get somebody they drafted. I think Jordan was in grammar school, Kenny Stills. Not making fun of him.
He's extremely, extremely smart. And so, there's, I'm sure, carryover and then some nuances that are different. But I think in day two, he had most of it. In day three, he had all of it. So, it's good to see him getting some work and getting having some contribution last week. He's an extremely smart player, and I think someone that we feel like can help us.
I'm serious. As we bring in Randy here for a quick phone call, it's almost like Sean's Morgus the Magnificent here as we turn the page to October soon. Randy, man, give me your best 2 minutes so I can go to break and bring in Scott Prather from ESPN 1420. What you got, Randy?
What's up, Gus? Yeah, man, I don't know why. Well, I do know why, but, man, every station you're turning on, especially ESPN, the only conversation about that game is how Mac Jones, you know, he shouldn't be the quarterback, or how he turned the ball over, and, you know, about Brady coming up. Nobody talks about the Saints going up there, handling the line of scrimmage, forcing those turnovers, winning by more than 2 touchdowns. All they talk about is the Patriots. I haven't heard anybody give any type of credit to the Saints.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty incredible, right? But you know what? Look, going into last week, I played the sound bites. It was Wednesday. I played Greeny on NFL Get Up, as you like to call it. Randy, Mike Greenberg says, I know we're a week away, but all the focus is on next week's game between New England and Tampa Bay. I'm like, there's
they
no
weren't
whole...
even talking about the Dude, Rams. It, they weren't it, even talking
yes.
about the Rams Bucks game.
Thank you. And that is a huge game. That was a huge game because now the Rams look really good. I mean, the KC Chargers game with you had so many good storylines going into it. Burrow going into Pittsburgh. The Bengals are 2-1. That
dominated.
Was like there's so many good storylines. I'm so sick of the only thing that people care about is Dallas and New England or Brady. I'm like, no, actually it's not. You keep telling us that. There are other interesting storylines. That's the job of media. Tell us about it. Bring up good things to look at. Like, I don't rehash the same thing. I wrote it down on a sheet of paper, Randy, last week. In a 1 hour segment, they did the Brady versus Bucks again, a week away. 4 times in a 1 hour segment. It was a joke. I was like, that's unbelievable. And the segments were like 5 to 7 minutes in 1 hour.
Let me ask you this one question, Gus. I'm gonna let you go on this. What will it take for the media and the narrative, I guess, period, for the narrative to change on Jameis Winston from being 30-30 to mm-hmm. Jameis Winston being a viable good quarterback in this league?
Unfortunately, yeah. Thank you, Randy. And I think unfortunately it's going to be stats. While Sean Payton, and rightfully so, says I could give a bleep about stats, as Taysom Hill said at the end of the game last week, we could give a bleep about stats. Alvin Kamara says I don't care about stats. But for people that do show highlights and don't watch the game, it's going to be stats. I mean, that's, I'm just telling you. I mean, I heard screaming A's, you know, analysis, you know, from a week ago against Carolina, and it was all Jameis's fault. Never watched the game. There's no way you can say it was all Jameis' fault. The guy never had a second to throw. So, you know, it's what it is, though. Scott Prather, ESPN 1420. We'll continue this conversation with him next on ESPN New Orleans.
You have a pest control problem? Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies has an experienced staff that can guide you with the products to use yourself for your home or business. They carry a full line of professional products for termites, mosquitoes, ants, wasps, fleas, bed bugs, mice and rats, or any other pest control needs you may have. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies. Call 985-475-3314. That's Roundtree's Pest Control and Supplies.
It's a new season, everyone. No, not football season or the fall. It's the season to change up your stale wardrobe. And that's where the new Stitch Fix Freestyle comes in. Listen, we've all probably let our own personal style fall off a bit for over a year now. But Stitch Fix Freestyle is a highly personalized shopping experience that allows you to discover and instantly buy clothing and accessories based specifically on your style preferences and fit. So get those new looks for any occasion today. Head to StitchFix.com to get started.
Wonder if you should get tested for colorectal cancer? Well, it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., and screening helps prevent it. So if you're 50 or older, it's time. Even if it doesn't run in your family, most often, colorectal cancer occurs in people with no family history. and it doesn't always cause symptoms, especially early on. So don't wait for symptoms to get tested. Screening helps prevent the disease by finding precancerous polyps so they can be removed. Remove the polyp, prevent the cancer. Screening also helps find colorectal cancer early when treatment works best. You might be thinking, oh no, not that test. But here's the thing, you have options. There's more than one screening test. Talk to your doctor to find the one that's right for you. No more excuses. If you're over 50, get tested, because colorectal cancer screening really does save lives. A message from HHS and CDC's Screen for Life campaign.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
I gotta eat the cereal.
Hello, I'm Luke Holtz, and this is Chimera's King Christ. A lot of people talk about my brother John. I will possess. If he was smart enough, he would have drafted this guy. Hell, if I was smart enough, I'd have drafted this guy right here. This little motherfucker.
Whoa! Hey now, if you want to go check out that video, it does edit right then and there. That is Scott right there. Doing impressions of several celebrities trying Alvin Kamara's cereal. Sir, that's good stuff at Scott Mimic. It's the way to go. Check that out over on Twitter, and you can check it out right there. He just posted about an hour ago. That's a really good job. Is that like Martha Stewart's kitchen set? Man, that looks really nice.
Cleaned up my kitchen a lot before filming that. There was some stuff all over the place. And so, me and a buddy of mine who helped me do the video, we're like, hey, let's freshen things up a little bit.
I like it. It's good. It's good lighting and everything. We got Chris Collinsworth there. Aaron Neville. I mean, you even got the birthmark on there. That's really
good. There.
Yeah, Aaron Neville, man. Let's see what he had to say.
Mara's King Crunch. Oh, wow.
You know, it's what I always told my team.
I love you, Alvin.
It's good stuff, man. Look, I look at it like this. If you want to sing to Alvin Kamara, sing to him. 27 touches in the win. You heard Sean Payton this morning reiterate. He doesn't care about stats. What he cared about, as he thought, the most important key to victory was establishing and running the football better than New England. He said it three times this morning. 27 touches, 24 carries by number 41. They absolutely rode him the victory.
No doubt. I mean, he and DeMario Davis are the best players on the team. I think when you see on a good day the offense and defense thrive, it's obvious. I think it's a whole new era with this offense, Gus. And get Kamara the ball, feed it to him, and yet, contrast that with what Peyton said in the past is we got to limit the touches for Kamara. You know, he's basically what Peyton has said in the past, but he won't come right out and say it this way, is we can't Christian McCaffrey him, right? Carolina gives him too many touches, and McCaffrey gets beat up. And Kamara, I think his build's a little thicker. Not that McCaffrey's a small guy or anything, but I'm anxious to see, Gus, as Tony Jones gets more comfortable in the offense, if he gets some more carries. Because on one hand, you want to win all the games and Kamara's your best player. And then on the other, think about what Peyton said in the past about him. So, I would expect a little more Tony Jones, not a lot, a little more as the season progresses. But I think this year, overall, will be the most touches Alvin Kamara ever has in a season. Even taking away the 17th game, right? Let's just say he plays 15 mm-hmm. games. I think he will already have surpassed the most touches he's ever had in an NFL season.
There's the morning show over there on ESPN 1420 in Acadiana, over in Lafayette. Mr. Scott Prather. Scott, I said it in last segment, I'm not nearly as concerned to an extent, about the Saints not being able to pass over 150 yards just yet, because I just feel with everything you have, it's a bowl of bleep gumbo. I mean, it really honestly is. It's like injuries, COVID, coaches, starters, a makeshift right. offensive line. You know, Kenny Stills, who was watching football, comes in and in 2 days, per Sean Payton this morning, learns the offense. So that tells you where everyone else is. My point is, just get to the bye. Scott, I say it on your show. Just get to the bye. So if this was a team that had Breeze in it, or Winston's third season, or Michael Thomas in a full offensive line, and they weren't passing for 150 yards, I think all our shows are different, right? What is wrong? Has Sean lost his touch? Is it, I mean, all of that. This right now, get a win how you can get a win. That's how I feel. How concerned, where's your level of concern on the Saints offense right now?
I think I'm not concerned. I got to be clear, my expectation for the offense this year wasn't exceptionally high. Not that I thought they'd be bad, but I knew it was going to be, if the Saints were going to win games this year, it was going to be in a very different way. And I know the long ball is sexy and people got excited about it, and all Breeze and his arm, and so many people were giving that story way too much, in my opinion, emphasis after a week one win against Green Bay. It was nice that the long ball is there, and it's nice to have in the offense, don't get me wrong, but the lack of quality receivers right now, I think, is alarming, to your point. And one thing, look, Breeze had some good receivers, no doubt. But even when he didn't, he was able to just get guys involved and do things. And I think that coupled with, look, you lose Eric McCoy. You lose Teron Armstead now probably until after the bye. And that's going to impact your team. It's going to make Jameis a little more shaky. I think when Jameis gets the death stare from Sean Payton, even though it's after a touchdown and, you know, it was all part of God's plan, maybe he's a little more hesitant to just sling it in the second half. You know, I've been saying this for a while, guys. You can't coach the Jameis out of Jameis. You just have to hope to tame it a little, right? Like, he's still going to do, no matter how much you say, if he can just do that, or if he could just, he's still going to make some of those throws, but it's a matter of curtailing it so it's not all the time. But just, you know, he's got to hope to tame it. And I think the offense, I'm more concerned about the injuries and the lack of talent overall talented receiver. It's nothing against Callaway or anything. And Harris is really good, but I don't think he is built in the mold of a number one type receiver, right? He's a deep threat. I thought he had two huge catches on crucial third down conversions, especially the one late in the third quarter when the Saints offense had, or no, the fourth quarter rather, whenever New England finally had a little bit of momentum. So I like Deontay Harris, don't get me wrong, but, you know, getting Michael Thomas back, Raekwon, you know, he's hot and cold, but just having experience there, I think that's going to help out a lot. But I'm not concerned about Sean Payton's ability as a play caller at all, put it that way. Like, I'm not, that is, oh, well, Breeze is gone. What's Payton going to do now? No, I think Payton has done, you know, with the exception of week two, which was just, you know, a game you want to just toss out. But I think Payton's going to continue to show he's one of the best play callers in the NFL.
Right. No doubt, Scott. One of the things I want to touch on, obviously, is the Cages. We had Coach Napier on Tuesday. He's got a pretty important stretch, I think, for sure. And I want to get onto that in a quick sec before we let you go. What do you expect to see on Sunday? Look, the defense is playing fantastic. Right now, it's the identity of the team, isn't it? I mean, it totally is. They're 7.5-point favorites. What do you see Sunday?
I see the Saints winning. If they don't, it's weird. So much has been put on the team being on the road so much, and I think they deserve a lot of praise for being 2-1 with, it's hard to be away from home for 5 weeks. It really is. And I know, yes, they were, it wasn't like they were living out of a motel. And yes, people have had it a lot worse. I understand that for sure. Just in pure football terms, right? There had to be this huge sense of relief to finally be back home. But when you finally get back home after being away for a while, there's a lot of cleanup. There's a lot of distractions. There's just that idea of, man, I need a breather here. You know, is it that extra oomph that makes them dominate the Giants, or are they a little sleepers coming out on Sunday? I mean, the good news is the Giants aren't good. Their play calling is poor. Their quarterback is turnover prone. And the way the Saints defense has played for three games, I think the Saints defense will have their way, and I think the Saints will win. But my question more is the offense. Are they coming out clicking on all cylinders? Are they coming out looking as good as they've looked this season, or is it a little sleepish? Is it the game against Carolina or most of the third quarter against New England? That's the part I'm anxious to see. And let's just hope it doesn't come down to a kick, because, my goodness, I mean, Will Lutz can't get back soon enough.
Yeah, let's not go there. Let's go over to Canyon and see what's up with the Cages. They pick up the win. Look, Coach Napier a week ago said that Georgia Southern game was going to be, you know, difficult, and they get a couple block kicks. They get some timely sacks at the end. Beautiful throws by Levi to get, you know, some touchdowns. They got a tough stretch here, right? I mean, this is a tough game coming up against South Alabama, the undefeated, and next week we don't have to get into the rivalry between them and App State. So an important stretch for the Cajuns. This game's pretty big, though, isn't it?
Yeah, no, you can't lose to South now. I think Louisiana's a 12.5-point betting favorite right now, but South Alabama, they're 3-0 for like the first time as a D1 team in the Sun Belt. And as a result, they're confident, right? They're believing. And the strength of their team is their defensive line. It's strong, really strong. Their offense hasn't, you know, lit the world on fire or anything. But what the Cajuns want to do offensively, first and foremost, is win in the trenches and run the football. And they just lost a starting tackle in Carlos Rubio for the season. And South Al's strength being their run defense, I think they're giving up 55 yards a game on the ground. Granted, you know, they've played, no offense. I mean, I know it's your alma mater. Southern Miss isn't strong this year. You know, they played Alcorn State. They played Bowling Green. They played some teams. UL wants to run the ball. They don't have as strong a rushing attack as they've had, say, the last few years. But they're getting there. And I think it's kind of, how does Napier come out and call more pass plays earlier in the game than he typically does? The one area the Cajuns have really struggled in, not just this year, but for a couple of years, is third down offense. I mean, frankly, it's just been bad. And I think some of that is when you get into third long, and that's usually when they pass on early downs. As a result, they end up running more on early downs. So if they can run the ball against South Alabama, I think the Cajuns blow them out. I honestly do. If South Alabama, which their strength is their run defense, slows down or shuts down UL's run game, it's going to be a game that goes absolutely down to the wire.
All right. So you got a Saints win and you got a Cajuns win?
Heck yeah. Yep. Make it happen. And, you know, we'll see what LSU does against Auburn. But either way, Aaron Neville's going to be singing Saturday night and Sunday night.
I was going to say, go check out what Aaron Neville, Chris Collinsworth, and others feel about Alvin Kamara Crunch cereal. What do you think about the cereal? I haven't yet to taste it.
It's good. It's kind of like Honey Bunches of Oats. I'll say that.
Oh, okay.
It's like Honey Bunches of Oats. You know, and I love that, on a serious note, I love that the proceeds go into Children's Bureau of New Orleans. I think that's great. And, if you like Honey Bunches of Oats, then it's your kind of cereal. If you like, you want, you know, Cookie Crisp and Fruity Pebbles and super duper sweet stuff, you know, then maybe it's not for you. Or maybe you get it and you just add, you know, some sugar to it.
Add some sugar to it. That is not advised for kids going to bed. I can promise you that. At Scott Mimic, M-I-M-I-C. It's the way to follow Scott Prather on Twitter. If you want to go check out as well as show in the mornings, ESPN 1420. I like to put it on, man, and listen to it while I walk the dog in the morning. So keep up the good work, sir. I'll talk to you again on Friday.
Always appreciate it, guys. Talk soon, brother.
For sure. Quick break. Jordan, the intern, comes back. A couple of top stories. Champa Bay. Jason. That's next on ESPN New Orleans.
It's the Ram Power Days going on right now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's Market in Golden Meadow, now open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. every day.
Simplify your life with Simply Free Checking from SL Bank. Why pay over-the-top fees for a checking account when our Simply Free provides the best in daily money management with mobile banking, debit cards, free e-statements, and a lot more, with no minimum balance requirement and no monthly maintenance fee? And when you open a new Simply Free account, you'll receive a free gift. Visit us today at any of our four locations. SL Bank. Member FDIC, and equal housing lender.
A new name, a new era. TGMC is now Terrebonne General Health System. This change reflects our transition to more of an all-around healthcare partner rather than just a healthcare provider. With new facilities, new innovations, and new ways to help you, we've done more than change our name. We've changed our future. To see what's new at Terrebonne General Health System, visit tghealthsystem.com.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Pelicans, day two of practice. Saints, about to wrap up practice for the week. For the first day of the week for them as they get ready for the Giants against 7.5-point favorites. Join the intern returns. Follow him on Twitter at JD Kleber. Gives us a couple of top stories to come into the week and some interesting ones for sure, including what's going on in Tampa. Let's get the intro.
Here's a look at what's making news. Let's check out the Sports Hangover's top stories.
Sir, what do you got for us today?
I know everyone's tired of hearing about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but there's two top stories for today. Bruce Arians earlier said Antonio Brown will be back practicing tomorrow with the team. So it looks like he will be back for the Buccaneers. Should be as early as this week. And then the other one, I'm sure a lot of you Saints fans are keeping an eye on this. The Bucs signed Richard Sherman to a one-year deal, so the rich get richer.
here's the one thing, though. Ready? Do you think Richard Sherman can make that much of an impact immediately for them? Is he got enough? I mean, I know there were a lot of Saints fans before an incident took place in Seattle that wanted Richard Sherman at the beginning of the season to come to New Orleans. So, I don't know. Is it really the rich getting rich? I mean, I guess. I mean, look, a player of his caliber and his talent could come in and help. I mean, they wouldn't sign him if they didn't feel that way. But, like, they're already one of the favorites, right? I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, do they make him unbeatable favorites? I don't know. I got to see what he's got left. I mean, I guess we'll find out here soon, right, when the Saints take on Tampa Bay on Halloween night in the Dome.
There we go. Spooky season.
Yeah, it is spooky. What else you got for us?
So in NBA news, this came out this morning that unvaccinated NBA players who cannot play in games this season will not be paid for that game. So that is some big news for players.
That is very, very big news. Look, we've seen nationally companies fire employees if they don't do it. Now we're seeing this, at least in professional sports, from that aspect of it. And look, there's been some pretty big names, some pretty open players that say that they haven't or they haven't. Now, yesterday, LeBron did say that he is now fully vaccinated. Andrew Wiggins seems to be one of the bigger names, at least on the West Coast in the Western Conference. Kyrie Irving apparently says that he's not. It's a personal reason for him and all of that stuff. So, but look, the NFL we saw a couple weeks ago, Jordan, they weren't playing around, right? I mean, they flat out said if a team cannot play because of a COVID outbreak and it's caused by an unvaccinated player, you're getting the loss, you're forfeiting the game, and that team is responsible to incur and pay for the losses incurred by not playing.
That was the NFL, correct?
Yes, that's the NFL. So if the Saints take on whoever, the Giants, and they have a COVID outbreak, or the Panthers when they had it, and they couldn't have played the game, they would have had to pay Carolina, I guess, their portion of ticket sales, or they would have had to pay some amount of money to make up for the fact that they couldn't play the game because of them or because of a player being unvaccinated. So we found out a while back the NFL wasn't joking, NBA kind of following suit.
Yeah, absolutely. And then kind of transitioning over to college, LSU fans, and this news came out a couple of weeks ago, the NCAA denied LSU's running back John Emery's latest appeal to overturn his academic ineligibility. So that is some, you know, updated news on that situation for every LSU fan that's wondering about your running back.
Yeah, Ross Dellinger adding that a little bit earlier today that his family, quote, Emory's attorney plans to pursue other options, sources say. For now, he remains ineligible this season. Again, sort of like Matt Moscona said when this news came out, do you literally have a building, a structure, a situation, a place in place to make sure that your athletes, much less your starting running back, a five-star athlete, is eligible and gets their classes? It's, I don't, Jordan, it's just, it's just another one of those things that's kind of mind-boggling and baffling, I think, for Tiger fans on how that program is being run. Yeah. But that's what it is. You know, something else that we haven't touched on just yet, again, at Media Day, then there was yesterday catch up with the Saints stuff and getting into it. But it is a storyline here. There's a very real possibility TJ Finley may start or will play against LSU. Remember, he was a Tiger a year ago. And he came in. They benched Bo Nix. Or as Clint Sterner said on our Arkansas Game Day show last weekend, he calls him Bo Pix. That was just not good when that's your nickname as a quarterback, Jordan. But he came in with a $140 to play. They were losing. I forgot the name of the school. Who was it again? It's off the top of my head. It was a team that they absolutely shouldn't be losing to, my goodness. And it, I just went blank. But he came in with a $140 to play, scrambled on 4th and 9, spun out of 3 people that were about to sack him and threw to a Tiger in the end zone for the game-winning touchdown. But Jordan, they were about to lose. They were about to lose. Georgia State, that's who it was. 34-24 was the win. But they were about to lose. Bo Nix got benched because he was missing wide-open people, and TJ Finley came to the rescue and he's coming to Tiger Stadium, 8 p.m. Saturday night. So tomorrow when we turn our attention to college football, Jordan, we'll hear from both coaches and see if there's a possibility for Finley to return to Tiger Stadium. And you know that's going to be a storyline for sure.
And I'm pretty sure I remember seeing something on Twitter that Coach O said, are you going to have a problem, you know, going after, you know, a former, you know, quarterback of this team? And he said, well, if I didn't have a problem sacking my own son, then I won't have a problem, you know, sacking, you know, a former, you know, that was too tired.
Right. And I don't know what kind of question that is. We have a problem. Right. He's coming in to try to beat you. I mean, like, why? Sometimes the questions
don't. You.
Jordan, don't ever ask that question. That's a silly question. Do you have a problem going after him? He doesn't have a problem. He chose a school to play you. He's probably ticked off that he didn't get to play with you. He has a problem with you. I mean, seriously, he's salivating. He is praying to come into Tiger Stadium at 8 o'clock and spank you. Like, that's what he wants. You have a problem going after him. Come on, guys. Anyway, Jordan, thank you so much for Top Stories.
No problem. Talk to you later.
All right, bud. We'll see you in, let's do hour number 3. Got a couple of guests next hour. Sean Fox will join us at 1:15. Mike Triplett, 1:30. Coach G, some big U.S. men's national soccer team news at 1:45. Ralph Marlborough at 2:15, and we'll bring in Jordan to close out the show. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.